Now, the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin on this beautiful Sunday morning in downtown Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by Esther Korpas, CEO of Alivio Medical Center, and Rebecca Shee. She's the executive director of the Illinois Business Immigration Coalition. And I wanted to have them both in to talk about some legislation, recent legislation that passed the House. As we talked to Representative Martwick earlier, a bipartisan supported a piece of legislation about continuing covering all kids. And Esther, I want you to talk about this because this was a pretty a dynamic statement when you look at how stalemate the legislature is for their endorsement of this legislation. What is it? How does it work?
Okay, thank you, Rick, for having me. So All Kids is the state-funded program that provides health care benefits to about 41,000 children in the state of Illinois. And it's been in existence for 11 years. It had bipartisan support 11 years ago. And we're simply asking the legislature to extend the sunset, which is due to a sunset June 30th of this year. And we're asking that it makes no sense from a public health perspective to cut those benefits. We also get a federal match. So this is a program that provides so much good for kids at a very low cost.
And this provides coverage regardless of immigration status.
Absolutely. There's about 1,000 kids that are undocumented that do receive coverage. And I can tell you firsthand, at Alivio Medical Center, about 40% of our patients are undocumented. And so for me, at my health center, not to have coverage for our children would be devastating.
Now, that coverage for undocumented is not federal reimbursed, is it?
Well, they are covered.
They're covered by the state.
They are, but we don't get the federal match for those individuals.
Because I know that had been an issue when the program was first proposed, was in, you know, what kind of a financial responsibility is the state undertaking here.
Right.
But the bottom line, and from its initial passage to its continuance, is that it's a declaration of policy of the state of Illinois. And certainly, I would imagine it's so much like we talk about health care issues, that preventative or front-end health care basically saves so much money on the back end.
Absolutely, absolutely. And for children, when they're healthy, we know that they do better in school. They're happier in their home situation. But it also covers a lot of our complex patients who have, you know, severe medical issues, and it would be devastating for them not to have this kind of coverage.
Now, in light of the state's budget problems, its impasse that has left us 10 months without a state budget, where exactly, I mean, this is a declaration of policy, but how does that impact, for example, your medical center and kind of reimbursement? Is there federal pass-through money that's moving, but the state share is not there? How does that work?
Well, we have consent decree, so we did go to court with the Shriver Center back over the summer. Luckily, we are getting reimbursed for our Medicaid programs, but it's still difficult because the payment cycle is still somewhat slow. And so, you know, having to really manage our cash flow has been a challenge for healthcare centers, but, you know, as you know, other community-based organizations.
So when you're down there, and you were just down in Springfield.
And we'll be back on Tuesday.
And we'll be back on, I mean, what do legislators tell you about trying to get out of this impasse?
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of hope in resolving a lot of their issues that are preventing us from having a budget. So I can't imagine that we would go into a second year in this same situation, but it doesn't sound like there's a lot being resolved, unfortunately.
You can't believe we're going to go into a second year?
Well, I don't want to believe that we're going to do this again.
I was just going to say, because I don't know, you know, what is going to be the trigger. And all along, just like you have, trying to, you see these triggers that you think are going to make people move, and it doesn't happen.
That's right.
So as far as the covering all kids, obviously the bill moves to the Senate. What kind of reception does the legislation have there?
I think that it's always a lot more comfortable on the Senate side, but the bill is actually being called on Monday, so it hasn't moved through the House yet.
Okay.
So that will happen on Monday. We do have bipartisan support. We hope that they're all there on Monday to vote on it, but we feel comfortable, but we're not taking anything for granted that, you know, this bill is an important one, and we need everyone to support it.
What have you heard from the governor's office on this legislation?
Well, Director Felicia Norwood, who is the Director of Health and Family Services, is supporting it. So I'm, you know, hopeful that the governor is in support of it as well, since she does represent the governor on
health care. Represents the administration,
right,
on that
correct.
Point. But it got out of committee 11-2?
15-2.
I didn't mean to short you four votes there.
with actually four Republicans, including the Deputy Minority Leader, Patty Bellock, supporting it. And so we're hopeful, like Esther said, that this will pass in the House with strong bipartisanship, also because I think that the committee vote demonstrated both Democrats and Republican leadership supports this, but also the fact that this bill was a standalone bill that got pulled out of the larger, say, Medicaid budget or the state budget showed that that they don't want this to be lost in the bigger political fight, right? That both the governor and Speaker Madigan cares about these vulnerable children, and that, you know, this was a bipartisan decision made 11 years ago that all children should be treated equally and that all children should have access to affordable care.
And so, that also that this, as you said, separated out of the bigger fight,
right,
and also not use people to be held hostage as part of the bigger fight as well, not having kids in need of medical care being held hostage in the bigger scope of things.
Absolutely.
When you look at, and people have been throwing that word hostage around throughout this whole budget impasse. We're speaking to Esther Korpas, CEO of Alivio Medical Center, and Rebecca Shee from the Illinois Business Immigration Coalition. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Here come the Hawks. Game 3. Pre-game at 1:30 here on your sports station for all Blackhawks games. WGN Radio 720. 1:30 pregame, 2 o'clock. Puck drop at the United Center. Game 3. The Hawks are at home. Series tied 1-1 against some team from St. Louis. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. I'm here in the Allstate Showcase studio, which unfortunately is in blue. We need to paint that red, I think. But we've got Esther Korpas. She's CEO of the Alivio Medical Center, and Rebecca Shee, Executive Director of the Illinois Business Immigration Coalition. And I know that, Esther, you wanted to talk about the Healthy Illinois program that's going on. What is that?
So Healthy Illinois is a group of individuals that have come together, both healthcare entities, faith-based organizations, other community organizations that are working together to ensure that all Illinoisans have health care. But this year we have made extending the sunset for the Healthy Kids program a priority for us. And so that's why we've been
so
in Springfield.
So this is kind of the coalition for Healthy Kids, for all kids, that extending that coverage for everybody.
And eventually, hopefully, adults as well.
Steps,
yes.
Right. Rebecca, I wanted to talk to you about the whole issue of comprehensive immigration reform? And because we talked about this, you were part of the panel that I moderated out at Aurora University, and you know that I kind of viewed that panel as trying to clear up some of the myths that exist when it comes to immigration. And now, granted, in a tough political year, immigration, comprehensive immigration reform is not likely to be seen anywhere. No one is talking about it. But it's still something that your group right. wants to see done. And, you know, let's, one of the issues is you, and I get asked about this too, is like, well, you know, how does having undocumented people, don't they just take the jobs of people at, in this time of economic uncertainty that can't get jobs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Rick. And that was a beautifully moderated panel that you did at Aurora. Yeah, that's one of the myths that our employers at the Illinois Business Immigration Coalition works to debunk all the time. Undocumented immigrants, they work, they are job creators, and they're taxpayers. So in Illinois, for example, undocumented immigrants pay annually over $570 million to our state tax base, from which they are ineligible to get any sort of benefit, right, because they don't have a Social Security number. And in addition to that, they work in jobs that native-born do not want to work in. So one of our most prominent members is the Illinois Restaurant Association, and the employers there always talk about that undocumented immigrants, they work at the back of the house, for example, as dishwashers, busboys, and a lot of native-born, they like to be waitresses, they like to be hostesses. And so what immigrants do is that they complement the jobs that native-born would rather work in, and they make it so that there are more jobs created at the front of the house, right? So that's one example. The other example is, you know, agriculture, right? The Farm Bureau and peach growers, pig farmers are an important part of my coalition as well. And they talk about year after year just the difficulty of navigating the lower skill visa program, the H-2 program, and that they would rather be able to hire legal workforce. But, you know, the native born, the kids have left the town. A lot of these rural areas are moving to big cities for schools or jobs. And so the only workforce that's accessible to them are undocumented immigrants, right? And they pay very well. But our system is so broken that our employers want to hire legal workforce, but they cannot because the system hasn't been fixed in the last 30 years. And so as the business coalition, we've been pushing very hard, you know, as the business voice inside of this immigration debate to say that if you believe in a stronger economy, if you want to see creating more jobs for Americans, then we need a common sense immigration solution that is, you know, similar to what Speaker Paul Ryan has already put forth, that's similar to what, you know, the Senate passed several years ago, that expands high-skill, low-skill visas and creates a path to legal status or citizenship for those that are here who are undocumented.
But you're not hearing anything on the federal level of any steps moving forward with this anytime soon.
Right. Not this year, not currently, though I do want to say you do hear about immigration every day right now during this very
yes.
heated debate, but not good. But I think what's really interesting is that I think this fall's election will be a referendum on immigration issues, right, unless something, I think, extraordinary happens, right? Because you have one side on the GOP, a very harshly anti-immigrant candidate, whether it's Trump or Cruz, and then you have on the other side with the Democrats a much more inclusive candidate. And so what's really exciting, I think, that's happening is that you see states like Illinois, Colorado, Florida, and Nevada, where immigrants are actually mobilizing like never before to become citizens and to vote, right? So if you look at the day that Trump announced his presidency and he called Mexicans rapists and criminals, to January of this year, there was a jump of 14% in the rate of immigrants becoming citizens. And we know that naturalized citizens vote at a much higher rate than native-born and even millennial. And so, you know, in a democracy, the voter ultimately decide. And so I think at this moment, it's very interesting to see, you know, Republicans at the statewide level claiming different voices and sending different messages that there are different voices in the Republican Party on issues like immigration. So,
did it take something like Trump's pronouncement, you think, to mobilize that voter registration that traditionally wasn't there? Because, you know, when you look at the Republican Party and they did that famed autopsy after Mitt Romney lost, and one of the things was about growing the party, and growing the party was reaching out to the immigrant community to, you know, grow the party. And Trump just kind of threw that right back, back in the Republican leaders' faces.
Right. No, that's exactly it. And I think, you know, Mitt Romney got, 27% of the Latino vote and even less of the Asian vote. But the rhetoric that we're hearing from Trump and Cruz are much more severe, right, than what Mitt Romney said. And so I think you're absolutely seeing the connection between legal immigrants that have probably waited years and years, right, to naturalize and haven't done so, coming to workshops, coming to, bring their whole family to apply for citizenship so that they can vote in November. And we're seeing this across the country. So,
Rebecca Shee, Executive Director of the Illinois Business Immigration Coalition. Esther Corpus, CEO of Alivio Medical Center. Thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin.
Thank you. It's our pleasure.
We'll be back with more right after this.